teach as soon as he can. So Steve's here today, and he'd like to talk to you for a few minutes, and then we'll get going. Want this thing?
I guess it's the name. Well, good morning, everyone. And I just wanted to say thank you to Debbie and I for all the prayers and cards. We have gotten so many cards, phone calls. You're welcome to call. Debbie is tonight. She's comfortable. She don't have any pain, and just dealing with a little sickness of her stomach. And we all have read about the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I know we got brothers and sisters here that dealt with the loss of spouses. And Dallas has been such an inspiration, and Harold, and we love their ladies. But anyway, the peace that passes all understanding, we are realizing that right now. Our kids are realizing that. it's good to have saved youngins and grandbabies. We're blessed. We are so blessed. God's good all the time, even though in the flesh, sometimes we feel like it's not a good time. The flesh will mess with you. But anyway, praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers. Keep praying. Thank you for the cards and the letters and all that you're doing. This church is really a loving church, and that's why we love it here. Anyway, I just wanted to say that from Debbie and I. Debbie wanted me to tell you that she thanks you so for your prayers and cards, and that is holding us up. It really helps. They come in the mail just about every day, and she can sit there in her seat and read those things and feel such wonderful love from God's people. I am going to come back and teach. I'm working on something now. I've kind of got off on studying on Paul. And I think I'm going to start in Romans, the theology of Romans. And it spreads out all through the New Testament, what Paul was writing at the time. It's become very interesting to me, and I think it will be to you. And we all know Romans. We know the Romans Road and all those things pretty much. It's just kind of textbooks to us. But when you start digging down into those things and looking at the Jews and the Gentiles, how God's love was shed abroad to the world, and the details of how all that happened, how the New Testament church got started, and how it, even the Roman Empire tried to stomp it out. It's not going to stop. There's going to be a remnant. We think things are maybe a little tough right now, but God's people is going to go on. The church. Levi is doing so well in England. He thanks you for all that the church has done. They had a 3-day Bible conference, and Pastor Sexton was there, and they preached it. It had over 350 people a night, and people are joining the church now at Levi's church and other churches across the country, and more churches have become available. He can't get enough young people to start these churches and get them going. So pray for that. Pray for Levi. And he and I and the family are so thankful for this church and what they've done for him. And in prayers and financial support, We just can't be thankful enough for what God has done through this church, through you people. And he's been good, folks. He's good to us. Praise his high and holy name. And I'm working on something. We'll get started teaching here soon. Thanks.
Well, just knowing what people are going through really, really makes you think, right? And everybody's going through something, you know, and when you go to a restaurant or you're driving in a car or you're out shopping and, you know, you get upset over the fact that somebody is rude or somebody is not the way that you think they ought to be. You know, everyone's having a hard time. You don't know what people are going through behind that face, you know, in their heart. It's tough. All right. Let me see what we can get through today. I know I have a lot on this paper, so I'm going to try and I start talking and I can't stop, and I get lost on these rabbit trails. And all right, next slide, Jack. So we raised 5 kids, and you're not going to get deep theology like you get from Steve, from me. You're going to get what the Lord has put on my heart and some of my experiences, and you're going to get Bible, but you're not going to get that. I was talking to Steve one time, and he makes my head hurt sometimes. He really knows the Bible well. But we raised 5 kids, and we would teach them scripture songs. And so we would sing scripture, and I think that's one of the best ways to learn scripture is to sing scripture. So I'm going to talk about David if I get to him today. But David wrote this, and he was saying, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." And so that's one of the songs that we learn out of the hundreds of songs that we taught our kids as they grew up. And this one, you know, when you go to change something or you have a bad habit or the Lord wants you to move in a certain direction, you got to start one thing at a time. You know, sometimes when the kids would come and they're all yelling and everything and they're all excited to talk to you, you say, wait, one at a time. Well, the Lord, with me, you do one thing at a time. And in this scripture, David's teaching, hey, get one thing straight right from the beginning. And what I'm going to talk about later is giants in your life. Steve and Debbie are going through a giant thing in their life. They're facing a giant situation. We face some giant situations. And a lot of you lived a long time. We have an older crowd in here. And you face some giant situations in your life. And my wife and I were talking about when we were coming up here, when we were driving up here this morning. Our best days, and I don't care if you're 7 or 70 or 85, your best days are ahead of you, not behind. You know, people talk about the good old days and, you know, this and that. You can reminisce. But as Steve reminded me the other day when I was talking to him as well, your best days are ahead of you. You just don't know it. I mean, can you imagine? One day we'll be changed. And just think about the streets of gold. Think about the crystal sea. Think about seeing your Savior face to face. It's going to be an amazing time, but our best days are ahead of us. So don't sit around. God has something for you to do. He's got one thing that he put on your heart today that you could do for him. One, to serve him. Two, to get closer to him. But all of us can pray, and that's the most needed thing. The biggest thing on Levi's heart when we were talking to him before he left, he said, just pray. Pray for this Jennifer. Pray for this Julie that they get saved. Pray for my trip at 7:30 in the morning. And he impressed it upon my heart. He was just like in my face asking for prayer. And I'm like, I'll remember that. And I was telling Steve, and I did. But we're going to sing this song, One Thing Have I Desired of the Lord, and That I Will Seek After. And then you'll see the lesson will follow, okay? So if you can't see the screen, you open your Bible. It's right out of your Bible, Psalm 27:4. And when we get down to that one line, to behold the beauty of the Lord, we're going to repeat that three times, okay? And every time I get up here, I'm going to have a different scripture song. So let's sing this. One, two, three. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that's all of us, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord, behold the beauty of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. You know, you're going to be going through things, and I've been through things, and the younger crowd's going to be going through things. We need to be a good example for them. But you know what? Let's get one thing straight. Stay in church, stay under the preaching of the gospel, and never leave. Don't let anyone offend you. Don't have it in your mind. Just be grounded. Have that foundation. I'm never going to leave church. And I know I'm talking to an older crowd, but you're going to be in a ministry. You're going to want to leave for some reason. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to have a tract that the Lord says, hey, give this to that person. And you're like, I don't think that person wants it. No, give it to that person. Just get this straight. But always dwell in the house of the Lord and inquire in his temple and stay under the preaching of the word of God. Let's sing that one more time and then we'll get into the lesson, okay? And then you won't be able to get this out of your head. All right? And that's the point. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. To behold the beauty of the Lord, behold the beauty of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And that's what we're doing today. We're in his temple. We're in church. All right. So last time I was here, we talked about time. Remember that? Oh, I didn't pray yet. I was going to ask Joe to pray, but he didn't show up. So let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for the health that we have. We thank you for the rest that we got last night. And we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for each person that you put in our path, Lord. Help us to glorify you in the way that we treat everyone and the way that we serve you. We love you, Lord. I pray that you be with us today. Give me the words to say, but give everyone the ears to hear what you want them to hear. We love you, Lord, and we praise you. We pray for the following service. We pray for the pastor as he brings the message, and we love you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last time I was here, I was talking about time. Who remembers time when I came last time when I was talking about time? There's some people who remember. I brought that big clock. Time is something that you got to learn to spend wisely. You can't save it, right? You can redeem it, as the Bible says. But I'm not going to talk about time. But I'm so thankful for the promise of heaven. And when I said the best days are ahead of us, it's because of that promise of heaven. I mean, that there's nothing like the promise of heaven. So, next slide, Jack. All right. In that one thing that we're going to pursue, we're going to always, people are seeing that you're getting up, you're getting in your car, or people are driving you, and you're coming to church. People seeing that. You're a good example. But sometimes, maybe because of our countenance, because of what we say, we may not always be a good example, right? We need to be a good example because there's so many people watching us. People in the other classes, they're watching you. They're seeing how you respond to certain situations. And I know there's people saying, you know what, I hope that when I get in that position that I'll respond the way that they did. I hope that I will follow the Lord and follow the Holy Spirit the way that they did. Or you could be a bad example, right? And we don't want that. But be an example in your speech. 1 Timothy 4:12, if you want to turn your Bibles, we'll go through this real quick. But because this isn't a lesson, but this is, I guess it is. But be a godly example. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example in your speech. Let me see if I can find Timothy real quick. It's so important to be a good example. And the reason that I'm talking about being an example, because I'm going to get into David and David's life and the example that he set for us. You know, he was a man after God's own heart, but a lot of people just focus on the negative and the bad things that happen in David's life toward the end. But it says, these things command and teach. So this young preacher, Paul was talking to Timothy, right? He said, these things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. So we need to be a good example in our words. We need to be a good example in what we say. Words matter. Words matter. People say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never harm me, or something like that. This is God's word. Words matter. Words matter a lot. You might say words are the only thing that matter. God's word is the only thing that matters. The relationship with the Lord is the only thing that matters. But be a good example in words, right? Be a good example in conversation. Conversation. It's not talking with one another. I'm not telling you any new information, but it's the way you're living your life. It's the way that you interact. It's the places you go. It's how you honor God with your life, your conversation, the way that you go and do things, right? Be a good example in that. Be a good example in charity. And this is the most important of all. Well, I can't really say it's the most important of all, but the Lord brings it out. Charity, love. You know, there is a way that you can show everybody God's love. It's through the way you're caring and the way that you love one another and the things that you do, the love that you show by helping people. Like, you know, everybody likes to invite people over to their house and everybody likes to do things for people. But you know what? The Lord teaches, hey, do things for people that can't do for you. Invite people over that can invite you back over, right? Show charity, show love, the love of Christ. So those are three things, and I'm going to get into something else. But be a good example. Be an example in what you say, where you go, and what you do for others. All right? So, and you have a paper there that I handed out to everyone but Steve. But we're going to talk, trying to cut a few things out because we're going to be short on time. All right, when you decide to do something, when you decide that one thing that God has put on your heart that you're going to change, that you're going to follow God's direction in that one thing, right? And once you start to be a good example in word, in conversation, in charity, in faith, in those other things, there's one person that doesn't want you to do that. That's Satan. Satan wants to stop you. You know, if you turn in the Bible to Matthew chapter 4, Satan wanted to stop someone else in Matthew chapter 4. And he, the Lord, gave us a good example of how to maneuver in a situation like that. So Matthew 4, chapter 1, or Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written. How'd he answer? With his words, right? He answered with his words, and he quoted scripture. He said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall not give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Then again, Jesus rebukes the devil. Jesus answers the devil. He said, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, and you know what I found in Scripture, and I've only been living just short of 60 years, right? But I found every situation, God has an answer in Scripture for you. Everything that you do in life, God has Scripture to cover it. And there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new. And God will help you. But he said, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then it goes on in verse 9, it says, And saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So, number one, he said, turn these stones into bread. Number two, he said, just jump off and do this foolish thing and the angels will come and help you. And the third thing he said, I will give you everything if you just worship me. And that seems drastic, like, you know, how's that affecting me? But he said, if you worship me, I'll give you all these things in verse 9. And then Jesus again answers in verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And that's important. Jesus, you know, this was at the beginning of Jesus' ministry here on earth. And it was at the beginning. And when you start to do something for him, when you decide one thing, I'm going to change about my life so I can glorify him, it's going to be at the beginning that Satan, he's going to want to stop you at the beginning. He tried to stop Jesus at the beginning. Can you imagine if he did? If he would have stopped Jesus, you know, it wouldn't have happened. But where would we be? Where would our hope be? We'd have no promise of heaven. But God wants you to change at least one thing today about your life and about your walk with him. And about what you can do better to have a relationship better with him. It might be your prayer life. It might be your Bible reading. It might be handing out tracts. It might be just visiting with people that need it. There's a lot of people that are shut in that would love somebody. I know Danny does that. But change one thing about the way you're living that would please the Lord. But once you decide to do that, the old devil will be there and he's going to want to stop you. All right. So I brought something here that I forgot about. When I was a kid, I loved these things. Does anyone know what these are? Cracker Jacks. When I was a kid, and you know when you're young, you think small, right? But then you think big. So when I got my first box of Cracker Jacks, and I see, I'm like, it says right here on this one, prize inside. Right? There's a prize in there. And the way when it explained to me and it clicked in my head by my mom, it's like, there's something in there besides the candy. There's a prize in there. And then as a young person, my mind would like wander, what's in that box? Because, you know, you don't get to get it and you think about it. It's like, I had two brothers. My one brother opened a box and he'd get a little plastic car or something. I'm like, wow, he got a car. And my other brother, he opened it up and he got something else you could put together. I'm like, wow. I'm like, what am I going to get, right? What prize am I going to get? And so I tore it open. Excited, I'm going to get a car, I'm going to get a plane, I'm going to get something big. And I got some butterfly tattoos. I was so disappointed. I got butterfly tattoos. My one brother got a car, the other one got something he was putting together. And I got butterfly tattoos. And so that's how the devil is. The devil wants to trick you into thinking that he's got something for you. You follow him, you bow down and worship him as you go through life, and that's in anything. That's with finances, that's with business dealings, that's with your walk, that's with your time, that's with, you know, watching TV, your entertainment. You start following him, he's going to disappoint you in the end. God's got something so much better for you. And I just thought about that. And I remember that. And, you know, to this day, 50-some years later, I still remember that moment when I was so disappointed with those butterfly tattoos and the fact that I was tricked into buying that candy. And I'm sure I had to save up for that. But facing Goliath. Next slide. Jack fell asleep on me. Or maybe there it is. Facing Goliath. God's gonna give you a call. God's gonna bring something into your life that's gonna help groom you for his service, for a relationship with him. And it might be a big thing. We've all faced things, some tragic things. And sometimes they're tragic, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're mountaintop experiences. But whatever the Goliath will be in your life, you need to do some things before you get there. God's got a plan. And you need to follow his plan. So when that time comes, and this happened to me, and I had a tragedy in my life, and God had a plan leading up to that tragedy. And I'm so glad that he helped me. Without God's grace and mercy, I don't know where we'd be. And I won't get into too much of that because I won't be able to finish today. But All right. In the Bible, if you want to turn in your Bible, I know I'm all over the map, but when we go to end here, we'll pull it all together. 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 through 3. God is constantly calling. And if you remember David, we're going to talk about David when he was young. And remember when, well, I'll get into it here. But God's calling each and every one of us. Say, I'm 80 years old. What's God going to call me to do today? God, just like before, when God said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And a lot of times you compare that to salvation. He's knocking on your heart's door. Answer the door and ask Jesus to come into your heart. But no matter what age you are, God is calling you to do something. And you got to answer his call. But turning your Bible to 1 Samuel, I don't know if you're there because I'm not. But 1 Samuel, I know we got to hurry. Oh, we got 15 minutes. But I was just thinking of how good God is coming in. And, there was a song that my wife was listening to, and it was talking about looking back over the best years of your life. It's a Christian song. And then we got to thinking, and my wife says, I don't like that. That's saying that the best years are behind us. And I love that, and I'm going to dwell on that all day. See, the best years are ahead of us. No matter how old we get, the best years will always be ahead of us. And that's something good. But what did I say? 1 Samuel 16, 1 through 13. All right. Now, this is when they're choosing a king, the very next king. And if you remember when they would go, they're going down and they're going through the boys and they're picking the boys, who's going to be the next king. And it's over Israel. And it says, and the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him and from reigning over Israel? So Samuel was mourning over Saul because he disobeyed the Lord. And he was going in his own direction, basically. And he said, forget about Saul. I have work for you to do. I have work for someone else to do. We need to select another king. And he had already picked that king. And Samuel said, how can I go? And There was a back and forth there because Samuel was afraid to go because he thought he was going to get killed. And but let's drop down to verse 4. And it says, and Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. So I know I'm rushing a little bit here, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. He said, when you go to pick this person, don't look on his countenance. Like, because Saul was tall, dark, and handsome, right? He is the perfect king that everybody wanted back in the day. But the Lord said to Samuel, he said, don't necessarily look for a person like Saul. Look for someone. Don't look for someone beautiful. I will direct you to the person that's going to be the next king of Israel. And so there were several brothers there, and he was going through the brothers, right? And Samuel was looking at this one. No, that's not going to be king. Looking at this one, that's not going to be king. He's going all the way down seven brothers, and he said, no, none of these are going to be the king. He said, you have any other brothers? Do you have any other sons? And he said, well, I got this one son that's tending the sheep, but he's not He's not king material. He's not sovereign material. He's not going to be the next king of Israel. And you know, sometimes we sell the Lord short on a lot of things. You know, a lot of times we go to trailer parks. A lot of times we go to apartment buildings and we knock on the door. Because there's a lot of people that are receptive to the word when you go soul winning. But oftentimes we neglect to go to those places that are really nice homes. Oftentimes we don't go to the place because you know what? We've already determined in our mind, well, that person has everything he needs. These people are obviously needy. But I say you need to go to the rich person, to the well-off. You need to go to everybody and hand them a tract, tell them about the Lord. Don't write anybody off. David was written off when he was just a young boy. And my wife, she was at a doctor's appointment, and we were traveling, and she had to go to the doctor. And she just started, she feeling led. She started talking to the doctor about the Lord. And the doctor says, you know, I don't normally stay with the patient this long. And he says, for some reason, I'm here. He says, I don't think it's a mistake. And that man accepted the Lord. You just write people off. You're in a hurry. You don't think. And of course, that wasn't in my notes, but if the Lord sends you or tells you to do something, don't think about it, just do it. He'll take care of you. Now, when we're still looking for a house, but when we get this house, it'll be our 26th home that we lived in. And we feel that we found a place that the Lord wants us for the rest of our life, unless he decides to send us somewhere else. But I've been in the military and the government for 40 years, but every step along the way, God has been there. He's been good. And let me just get to the meat of the lesson here, and I apologize for being all over the map, but David's preparation. All right, he learned to know God. David, as a young boy, he studied the scripture. He had a relationship with God. Samuel seen that. God impressed it upon Samuel's heart. And when he looked at David, when he came in from the field that day, he's like, this is the one. They said he was ruddy. He almost described him as being ugly. The Bible almost describes him as being ugly. And he wasn't much to look at. But God said, that's the one I want to use. That's the heart that I created. That's the best person for this particular job. But David was prepared. And he learned to use his gifts. When he was in the sheep, it says he killed a bear. He killed a lion. He played the harp to soothe the king. So all of us have gifts, whether it's teaching, whether it's preaching, whether it's comforting, whether it's helping. But if we don't exercise those gifts, we'll never get at a place where God can use us in a great way. David prepared himself, and he learned to use his gifts. Playing the harp, and he was using that sling to protect his sheep. Next slide, Jack. David had a dedication. He was diligent on the job. He was always there. He was always there. No one was going to take one of those sheep. And that when he got called, his dad, Jesse, said, hey, I want you to go down to where the boys are fighting in the battle. And I want you to bring them some food. And this is all in 1 Samuel. And so he went, but he didn't leave his sheep. He got someone else to take care of the sheep. He hired someone to take care of his sheep so he could do this other thing. God might put a tragedy in your life. God might call you to do something. But that doesn't take you away from the things that God already has you doing. You should be reading your Bible. You should be praying. You should be, you have a core mission. But God might say, hey, I got this other thing I want you to do. Well, you got to tend to it. David left the sheep, had someone tend to the sheep, and then he went down to the battle to give his brothers food. And so he fulfilled his responsibilities. And I encourage you to read over 1 Samuel. We'll explain all this better than I could. And the next slide, Jack. David's revelation. So even though Samuel anointed David when he was just a teenager, when he was just a young boy, David anointed him to be the next king. He waited on the Lord. You know, I was teaching the young people not too long ago, and he said, I know one day you're going to want this car, you're going to want this motorcycle, you're going to want this thing, and you're going to want it now. I mean, this is the world of wanting it now. We're a microwave world, right? You know, that's what I like about PAL, sudden service. Wham! You got it, right? PAL's is great. That's my favorite restaurant in the whole world. Because you go through, we went through Wendy's. We were down in Knoxville last night. And it's like, we're waiting on Wendy's, and they just didn't have it together. I'm like, I'm going to go somewhere and get fast food. We're at Wendy's, right? It's not like you sit down, they bring it to you. It's fast food already. But I love PAL's. I had to put a plug in there for PAL's. I know the history of PAL's. I learned all about PAL's. I know the 31 different locations. They're building another one. PAL Barger, he's awesome. But so he waited on God's timing. You know, you can think of things in your life that you're like, man, I should have waited. I should have waited on the Lord to buy that house. I should have waited on the Lord before I got involved with this, or before I got involved with that, before I took that job. David waited on the Lord. He was anointed, but it was a long time before he became king. And he still showed reverence to the current king, Saul. And he accepted God's commission. When finally God said, "This you're gonna be king." And then finally, when he is crowned king, I don't know what time it is. And finally, when he is crowned king, he's like, I'll do it. Because the problem is, a lot of times God tells us to do something, and when it's time to do it, we don't do it. When those big things come in your life, we need to be prepared. I'm thankful that God prepares us if we just yield to him. We need to accept the fact, and we need to be prepared, but we need to read our Bible. We need to hone our gifts. We need to do the things that will help develop the things that God gave us. And then when that tragedy comes into your life, or when that big opportunity comes in your life, when that giant thing comes into your life, you need to be ready to accept it. David, everything David did led up to him killing that Goliath that day. But after that, everything else, God says, okay, you did this, you did this, you did. I'm going to promote you, and I'm going to give you something bigger. I'm going to give you something bigger. I'm going to give you something bigger. And all along the way, what was happening? He was glorifying the Lord, and he was growing with his relationship with the Lord. And I better stop there. And sorry for getting emotional today. I kind of lost my place a little bit. But God is good all the time. And it's such a privilege and an honor to be before you today. There was a time in my life that I didn't think I would be able to teach anything ever. And I'm just so thankful. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the lesson today. We thank you for your word. Where would we be without it? We thank you for the people that you place in our way, in our path. Help us to go to serve them as we serve you. Help us to tell others about your love and your mercy. Pray for Steve and his family and others that are hurting today. No doubt there's many people that need your touch. Give us the rest of the day to worship you. Be with the pastor as he comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good day.